I didn't get to spend the entire weekend up here. I am a football coach for my son's high school team, and I get to be the offensive coordinator for the JV and help out with the varsity, and they are having a great year. We've only had five games because of COVID and everything, but we've outscored our opponents 250-19. It's embarrassing.
In a good way.
So I've been blessed to coach Robbie since, gosh, first, second grade, some little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a lot of football, and I've been the head coach before when they were young and know a lot of his friends. So it's just an extreme blessing. And I told the kids when they were young, if you are really going to love football, you've got to love practice. Because you will put a ton of hours in practice. And you might not even see playing time in the game when you get to high school. It's just the way it is. But you're part of the team. It's the ultimate team sport. How many starting positions on a football team? Anybody know? No. No. There's over 100. You're going, how does that work? Kickoff, kickoff return, punt, punt return, field goal, hands team. All of those special teams require kids to take a spot, which is a starting spot. That's why you see all those coaches on the high school sideline, because they got all these teams they got to be over and looking at. Right? You got to love practice, and then you'll love football. And the kids that we see that love practice, that are just out there, they're the ones that are always like, yes, that's my starting middle linebacker. That's my starting quarterback. Because they're just loving being out there, right? And that's the way it is in Christ. There's only a few spots at the podium. There's only a few starting quarterbacks. But there's a ton of other positions to play. And it's endless. It's endless. It's endless. Ephesians 5 and 6. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word as we open it. I pray you'd open our hearts and our minds and help us understand. Lord, help us to apply it. God, in the areas that we need to, Lord, that it would continue to refine us. You'd be glorified by it this morning. You would continue to empower us by your word, because your word is power and strength and wisdom and knowledge. God, help us to never, ever take it for granted that we sit here and look at it today. And we can look at it every day. God, we thank you. We praise you. Be glorified in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Dads, if you know that when you see your kid doing something that's like you or that you've told them to do and they're actually now pulling it off, you're crying. And it doesn't even necessarily have to be your kid. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe you don't have kids yet. But man, you've poured yourself into someone's life and they're doing it. Maybe it's at church and you've just poured yourself into someone and they're getting it. They're imitating what you showed them. Imitate God as dear children. Father, show us what we're supposed to be. Now, he's going to go on and say what that looks like and also what it doesn't look like. Look at verse 2. Walk in love. This is agape. This is the kind of love that's going to hurt. As Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that it might be a sweet smell in the Father's nostrils. As we imitate Christ, there's nothing that he loves more than to smell the aroma of you being Christ-like, of you figuring out who it is you're going to love this week. Of you figuring out how to get you out of the way and love that person through Christ. Sweet smell to God. Look at verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. We've seen these guys before in chapter 2. Verse 2, and who are the sons of disobedience bowing to? Satan himself. This is just the opposite of love. It's men's retreat. I am not going to beat you up with this list. I'm just not. I'm just going to tell you it's not loving, none of it. None of it. And we all know when we have fellowship, it's not of God. We all know. And God wants us to come out from it because it's not love. It's just the opposite of love. It's just the opposite of love. Resist these things when the old man still wants them. Look at verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, the sons of disobedience. Do you understand that love and loving someone is a response to God's love for us? This list is a response to who? Who is fornication a response to? Who is filthiness, uncleanness, a response to? Not Christ. It's a fellowship with the sons of disobedience. Don't be partakers. Don't be partakers. Guys, whatever we have to do, root it out, root it out, root it out. Crucify the old man. Kill it. Do away with it. Let it be dead and be raised in newness of life, walking in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will not walk with the sons of disobedience. But walk in the light. Look at verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. As Christ is light himself, and he announced to the world in John 8, hey, I am the light. Right? And as he is the light, then he shines on us, and we get to be a reflection of his light. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. You want to find out if something is acceptable? You know, sometimes there's some dark spots and we just want to play games with it. Wait, just ask the Lord. Let's say, Lord, do you want this out of my life? If he does, he'll tell you yes. And you can do just the opposite with good things. Lord, do you want this in my life? Lord, do you want me to be a Bible study leader? Lord, do you want me to step out in faith? Lord, do you want me to mentor someone? And he'll tell you yes or no. But we have to ask and we have to be ready. We have to walk in that light. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Guys, it's okay to say something about the works of darkness when God calls you to. Don't be afraid of it. If you know it's a principle of the word, if you're ready to share that truth in love, then do it. You'll find that it's not that hard. You'll also find that you'll get ridiculed at times. That's okay. You'll find that you'll probably make some enemies. That's okay. The cross is an offense. Godliness is an offense. They're even calling it hatred nowadays. That's frustrating and that can be scary, and yet it's truth. Share that truth. By all means, share that truth with your kids. Share that truth with your kids. Bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Verse 13, but all things are exposed, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. The wonderful thing about participating in a men's retreat, a men's study, a small group, being a mentor with someone, is that we get stirred up. We get stirred up, and the light of each other that comes from Christ, you know, if you've been to a few men's retreats, that worship at a men's retreat is special. It's special all the time, but it's special because you're here with your brothers. You're like-minded. You're seeking God. You're wanting God. You're wanting to be different. You're wanting to be all that he wants you to be. And so that light is exposing darkness. That's why you get that old familiar feeling if you've been to a few men's retreats where God's going, okay, there it is again. It's still there. My light's shining on it again. Let's do something. Let's go at it again. I'm with you. I'm for you. I want to empower you. But be ready to embrace whatever it is you need to embrace to get that thing out of your life and add something good in. Add something good in. Walk in wisdom. Look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly or uprightly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand, embrace, accept what the will of the Lord is. Guys, the Lord has a will for each and every one of us. For every moment of every day. The only person standing in the way of that will is me. The only person standing in the way of you getting up and spending time with your Father and reading his word and finding something to grab a hold of and go with it for the rest of the day and to continue to learn his word, God is not standing in the way. Your family's not standing in the way. Your schedule isn't standing in the way. It's me. Just not simply embracing the fact that, man, that's a good thing. And if I will just do it and trust God, the fruit will just come. The fruit will just come from it. If you don't have a regular time of feeding yourself with the Word of God, then do it. Amen. Just do it. Just do it. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how hard it is. Okay? And this is for me as well. Okay? Pastors, teachers, Bible study leaders, feeding on the Word of God and giving that time to Him, there is no substitute. There is no substitute. And each of us can do it. And we will find out God's will, perfect will for our lives. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Dissipation means squandering of resources. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you sleep. It's probably going to cost you some other things, right? But be filled with the Spirit. Now that wine is going to give you a temporary peace, a temporary relaxation, and a temporary rest, and a temporary escape. What is the Word of God saying right now? The Holy Spirit, being continually filled by His Holy Spirit and His Word, the one that bought you with a price, the one that wants to fill you with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. A glass of wine or this Bible. A glass of wine or prayer on my knees. A glass of wine or just praising God. Listen to some 80s Christian music. Amen. It's the best. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. I've noticed something, and it can be more inherent in men than women. And that is this issue of worship. In our culture, in our society, as we're taught to be men, we're taught to kind of hide some things, maybe to not show too much emotion. And sometimes that's a good thing, and other times it's not. When it comes to worship, it is not. Because you see, if you're a worshiper and you raise your hands and you get to church on time and you don't miss worship and you see the absolute value and glory of worshiping together as sons of God, then you will have something. You will grow in your walk with Christ. And perhaps because you haven't gone there with the Lord. And lots of different reasons. We don't want to look silly. We don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to do all those things. And I'm guilty. They put the worshipers out before they went to battle. Fight with worship. Be at church on time and worship. In your car, worship. Find the kind of music you love and just worship. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Be worshipers. Be thankful. Prefer one another. Submit to one another. Wisdom looks like these things. Being filled with the Spirit looks like these things. Verse 22. Oh my goodness, here we go. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the Lord is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now I can embrace that. What I cannot embrace is how hard it is for her to embrace submitting to me. I don't think about that. I just think about the command that she should be doing that. Husbands, agape your wives, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Do you nourish and cherish your wife? Just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Something that can be so frustrating and so crazy as this thing called marriage to understand. Remember, God gave one rule to the wife and one rule to the husband. That's it. One rule. Guys, I know you get it. I know you get how much God loves you. I know you understand that he died on the cross for your sins. That he'll forgive you over and over and over and over and over. Do you embrace that kind of love for your wife? Because it's hard. And sometimes we make excuses. Well, if they would just submit, then I could love. Did you submit to Christ before he died on the cross for your sins? I know this is mutual. I know she's supposed to respect. But you're asked to be Christ. You're asked to die in prayer, to die in service, to die in mercy, to die in understanding. To lavish your wife. To love, to care, to protect. To embrace that. And by the way, it doesn't hurt to embrace her every day. Every day. Don't be selfish with this love. Don't take Christ's love that's so lavish to us and be selfish with it for ourselves and not turn it around on the one person that you're responsible for. I know there's a lot of things. And so, sometimes it takes a lot of fellowship with other guys. Sometimes it takes some going to a pastor and counseling. And sometimes there's things, you know. One rule for you, one rule for me. Whatever speaks love, do it. Whatever doesn't, then don't do it. Don't do it. Embrace the fact that she has to submit to you. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Oh, we're doing great. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, I don't know how many young men here are with their dads or still at home, subject to their parents. If you are here and your parents are sinners and they're not always honorable, I've made it a rule because Paul said to Timothy, hey, don't rebuke an older man. My dad's always going to be older than me, so I'm not going to rebuke him. But sometimes he's needed it. So I've had to pray for him. I've had to ask God for a window. And he's given it to me. My dad has told me, you brought me up. I should be bringing you up. Don't rebuke them. They need it. Let God do it. Pray that God would bring someone else in their life if they need that. You love them and honor them and give them the place as the ones that brought you into this world. And don't become bitter toward them. Verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Use God's love, use God's light, use God's wisdom on your family, to your wife, to your kids, to your parents, to your sisters, to your brothers. Now, I have two children, a 22-year-old daughter and a 17-year-old son. And they're awesome. And they love the Lord and they're walking with the Lord. And Robbie, if you were to know him, he can be so just not, he's not controversial, you know, he's straight and you don't have to tell him about the grades, you know, give him a little admonishment here and there and he's taking care of his grades and he's taking care of stuff at home and he's just right on, you know. Doesn't lose his temper unless we're on the ping pong table. And it makes me laugh sometimes. It's probably, I don't know. But here, what I have to tell you is, I've actually told him because I can get mad at as well. He got to the point where he could beat me, all right? That does not make me happy at all. I said, you know, this is a lesson. This is a lesson in self-control, you know? But at the same time, we can laugh at each other and we provoke a little bit, right? I suppose it's innocent to a certain degree, but if you play that out in other ways, how are we possibly provoking our children to wrath? I'm a coach. I can parent like a coach. It doesn't work too well sometimes, especially with the daughters. Just doesn't. They think you hate them. Encourage. Yes, we want to show them the things of the Lord, but remember, they're young people. They're going to mess up just like you did. And if you just keep badgering, you will ruin that relationship for a time. Bring them up in the admonition of the Lord in a very loving, gentle, caring way. And yeah, be firm sometimes, of course. Absolutely. Our kids need rebuke and correction. That's a good thing. But are we tempering it with a lot of love? Are we tempering it with a lot of grace and mercy? Are we reminding them all the time, hey, I love you, I'm for you, I'm praying for you? Just because I correct you, just because I'm, you know, kind of on you with this thing, understand how much I love you. That's gentleness, that's tender-heartedness. Verse 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, with sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. God sees you the same. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven and that there is no partiality with him. In other words, he sees masters, bosses, I mean, those who have a great authority over people, he sees you no different than the people who are at the bottom of the rung. He sees you no differently. Now, I understand this topic of slavery is huge. One of the reasons why the world will just reject the Bible. God is not into classic slavery, taking people and possessing them against their own will and treating them poorly and as slaves. But the Bible is addressing the fact that if you find yourself in a slave-master relationship, let's face it, if you go out and get yourself arrested, you are a slave to the jail they put you in. And you have masters. If you go out and get yourself in financial trouble, you are a slave to those finances. Right? It's a very difficult topic to handle. Remember, God loves people. Don't get this mixed up. Don't let them tell their deceitful lies, okay? God is about freeing people from sin. He's about freeing people from slavery. That's truth. But the Bible does also address the reality that's in this world. And he tells us exactly what we need to be doing. If you're subject to someone in authority, hey, treat them just like you would the Lord. If you're over a bunch of people, hey, treat them just like the Lord would treat you, with honor and respect and lifting them up. Fight for righteousness. Stand up for justice when we see injustice in this world. Absolutely. Absolutely. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Okay, because when we're strong in ourselves, in the power of our might, it doesn't work out so well. But put on the whole armor of God. Whose armor is this? Whose armor is this? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We do have an enemy of our souls. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says this, be sober, be vigilant, or stand Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The enemy of your souls wants to get you off. The enemy of your souls wants to have you question this. The enemy of your souls wants to have you question the cross. The enemy of your souls wants to have you question what is righteous, what is right, what is wrong, what is truth. This right here, God's word. God's word that we can trust. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Whose armor? That we may be able to withstand in the evil day. Oh my, we're there. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. When Satan wants to tell you an untruth, you have truth there on your belt, ready to go. The breastplate of righteousness. When Satan wants to tell you, you're not good enough, you're not righteous, what you can say is, you're right, but Jesus is, and I put on his righteousness every day. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, Jesus' gospel, not mine, not the gospel of the world, the gospel of peace, that Christ died on the cross for sinners, of which I was one, and my sins are gone forever, and I am freed from them, and I am at peace with God. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, all supplication for all the saints. And for me, that my utterance may be given, that utterance may be given to me, Paul says, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. We know Paul. Let's get acquainted this morning with Tychicus. Faithful minister, beloved brethren, one who comforts hearts. Is that you? Is that me? Do you comfort the heart of your wife? Do you comfort the heart of your kids? Do you comfort the heart of those you work with? Do you have someone in your life that you comfort their heart? And someone also in your life that comforts your heart? You cannot do that by being a lone ranger for Christ. Nor can I. And at times, I'm guilty. Now, I love that the staff and the pastors at Rocky Mountain, we try to make sure this doesn't happen. And we do some very practical things. We have 14 pastors now, and so we'll pair up. And this 6 months, you meet with this guy every 2 weeks, and then we have times when we just meet together as a pastoral staff, and we are friends. Pastors and leaders of our churches here at Calvary Chapel in Colorado, let's be friends before we are co-workers. Let's be brothers in Christ before we are co-workers, because we can get caught up in the work. And the people that serve under you will see it, they'll know it, they'll sense it. But if you're a group of fellowshippers as pastors and leaders and Bible study leaders, then the people will see it and they'll know it. Tychicus. We all want to be Paul. I think we should all strive to be Tychicus, to comfort the hearts. Finally, he says, peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Understand and embrace. Understand and embrace. If this is the first time you've experienced Ephesians, stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. This little book, as other books of your New Testament, will walk you through anything, all things that you need for life and godliness. Everything. In this book, we love books and the latest book and this and that. And that's great. Reading books is great. It all comes from this one, if it's any good. Know the original. Stick with the original. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. And we thank you of all that you've done among us this weekend. God, we praise you. And we thank you. God, we owe you our lives. Show us how. Show us how to embrace. Lord, most of all, embrace you. God, and from that, everything that we can be, should be, will be, that you created us to be, will flow from that. Bless us now as we continue in worship. In Jesus' name, amen.